Senate Committee on Commerce to order. And the first thing that I'd like the committee to do is move into a work session. The purpose of this work session is going to be for possible introduction of committee bills. And I don't know if you'd be so kind to tell us what we have before us.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in front of us is LC 1974, and it adds landscape maintenance to the professions regulated by the Landscape Contractors Board. And it's for a committee consideration to become a bill.
And
here?
Yes, Senator Beyer.
LC 1974 be introduced as a committee bill.
Senator Beyer has moved LC 1974 in as to be introduced as a committee bill.
Good year.
I'm sorry?
I said that was a good year.
It was a very good year. Is there any other discussion? Not seeing any objection. It'll be so ordered.
First year I ran for the legislature.
It was a good year. All right, so we're going to go ahead and start our public hearing process now. I do want to just make one caveat for those who are in the audience. We've been asked to remind individuals, if you have a cell phone or some type of electronic device, if you will turn it off, it needs to be in the off position as compared to silent, because of our equipment may actually have interference from the from your phone service, and it will actually distort what is being recorded to be played on video and audio. Thank you very much. With that, we start a public hearing on Senate Bill 202. Anna?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 202 is one of three Bureau of Labor and Industry bills on our agenda today. It requires proof of workers' compensation insurance for obtaining a farm labor contractor license. It has no fiscal impact. No revenue impact is expected. And this bill was introduced last session as 132, and it passed the Commerce Committee, the Senate, and died in the House.
All right, thank you. And I have on my list Dan Gardner. Commissioner, please come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dan Gardner, Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries, and I'm pleased to be here today to introduce Senate Bill 202. This, as your committee administrator said, is a bill that we introduced last session. We currently license farm labor and forest contractors, and while both are required to have workers' compensation, this bill simply asks that at the time they apply for the license, they show us proof that they in fact have it. It's intended really in this bill to require that the contractor to prove the proof of insurance for their workers as part of that application process. And should the bill pass, both chambers be working on an administrative rule with the Department of Administrative Services Workers' Comp Division to make sure that we also clarify the fact that if they're an out-of-state contractor and don't have a reciprocal agreement with Oregon, that requirement would be there as well. This is a good bill. It really is intended to make sure that we get at those contractors who make sure they have workers' compensation on every single one of their workers.
Thank you. And any other testimony that you want to give to us, or just here to answer any questions at this point?
Well, Mr. Chair, with me is Christine Hammond, the head of the Wage and Hour Division, and she promises that if you don't ask any questions, she won't say a word.
Christine, thank you for being here. We'll see how that goes. Questions for questions for the commissioner or for Christine Hammond? And let me just ask, y'all can go ahead and step back. It sounds like you're going to get off the hook for this first one, at least. Is there anyone else here who wanted to give testimony on Senate Bill 202? Not seeing anyone jumping up, we're going to go ahead and close the public hearing on Senate Bill 202. And at this time, we'll open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 203. Counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 203 increases the amount of damages recoverable from a person unlawfully acting as a farm labor contractor from $500 to $2,000. There's no revenue impact expected. We've received no fiscal impact statement. statement today, no fiscal impact. This bill was in front of us last session, the Senate Bill 133, and it passed out of the Commerce Committee, passed the Senate, and died in the House.
And Commissioner, it looks like you're going to be back up on deck again. Maybe we'll just leave you here and we can ask next time if anyone else wants to join you to give testimony instead of having you jump back and forth. But go ahead and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Again, for the record, my name is Dan Gardner, Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries. And Senate Bill 203, by way of background, any person who are bids or is subject on contracts or any person for compensation, recruitment, or supply workers for production of farm crops and reforestation must apply for a farm and forest labor contracting license. This bill simply deals with private rights of action for damages for those acting as an unlicensed contractor, failing to provide certified payroll records as required, or fails to provide workers' compensation for workers, or assists an unlicensed person in an act of violating the farm and forest labor contractor law, that they be compensated either actual damages or the maximum of $2,000 for that private right of action. It's been $500 since 1983. Some, you know, people we talk to in the industry feel that some unlicensed contractors feel $500 could just be the cost of doing business. This increases it to something that is much more substantial and hope to deter folks from this type of activity.
Thank you. And any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Gordley.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Gardner, can you establish for us, please, what is the extent of the problem today?
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, we can give you the statistics that in the fiscal year 2005 and 2006, the number of farm and forest labor contractor investigations conducted were 199. The number of violations determined was 601. Those for no license were 133. Assisting an unlicensed contractor, there were 8 cases. Certified payroll violation, there were 146. For civil damages, which is different than the private right of action, the total amounts assessed was $43,500 for that fiscal year.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Not sure.
Yes, Senator Beyer.
The deletion in line 11 of with regards to forestation and reforestation of lands. Why are you making that deletion?
Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, that is just so it applies to both farm labor and farm forest contractors. Before, it just replied to reforestation.
Senator, any other questions? All right. Is there any other questions from any of the other members? If not, then I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing on Senate Bill 203. And I'm going to ask at this point if anyone has any reservations or if it's all right to go ahead and do a work session on this bill. Not seeing anything, I'm going to go ahead and open a work session on Senate Bill 203. And I will entertain a motion regarding that measure.
So moved.
And that measure is? I mean, the motion is?
Move
203 to the floor. Let's do pass recommendation.
I just want to get on the record.
Okay. Thank you. I move Senate Bill 203 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Gordley has moved Senate Bill 203 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Not seeing any. It will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
I need a carrier.
And the carrier, let's see. Senator Gordley, would you like to carry this one?
Certainly.
Thank you. Senator Gordley would be our carrier. I will close the work session on Senate Bill 203. And I'll also open a public hearing on Senate Bill 204. Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 204 is also a bully bill. It permits the Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries to accept service of process on behalf of an unregistered farm worker camp operator. It has no revenue impact expected. We've received a statement from fiscal. There is no fiscal impact. This was a bill last session. It was 134, and it passed the Senate Commerce Committee, and it passed the Senate, and it died in the House on the floor.
All right, thank you. And Commissioner Gardner.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Again, for the record, my name is Dan Gardner, Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries. And as your committee administrator mentioned, this bill is a bill that passed through this committee last session, and it does both the Bureau of Labor and Industries, we license both farm labor and farm forest contractors. For farm forest contractors, we're able to do exactly what the bill intends. This would just allow us to further move that to farm worker camp operators who are unregistered, to allow us to accept service for them and end up closing their business and taking care of problems in that nature. We're allowed to do this for other areas. It just simply extends this to the actual farm labor, the farm worker camp operators.
And are there any questions for the commissioner on this bill? Senator Beyer.
Mr. Chair, and I don't know how protocol allows us to delve into last session's business, but I was looking at the vote count provided in the staff measure summary on the bills on the House floor. And just curious to know if the commissioner knew why the level of opposition and what was brought forward when the bill passed the Senate unanimously and failed on the House floor.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, all I can tell you is it passed out of the House committee unanimously, was put on the consent calendar. Someone moved for it to be put off the consent calendar, and there wasn't much debate on the House floor about it.
Something about politics, maybe?
Possibly, Mr. Chair.
Well, Mr. Chair, that I would have accepted that argument except for two names on the no list. And as I said, I don't know how far you want to delve into what happened, but I was just curious.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, I believe those were changed votes for the purposes of reconsideration.
Okay. That answers my question.
Which it was never reconsidered.
I've never heard so much testimony where nothing was really said. That was so nuanced. I suppose it works for the record.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions for the commissioner on Senate Bill 204? Not hearing any, we'll go ahead and close the... let me ask if there's anyone else in the audience that wanted to give testimony on Senate Bill 204. Not seeing anyone coming up, we'll close the public hearing, and we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 204. And the chair again will welcome a motion regarding Senate Bill 204.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 204 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Gordley has moved to for the passage of, or I should say, sending Senate Bill 204 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussions? Any objection? Not seeing or hearing any? So moved and so ordered. Then, let's see, that will close the work session on Senate Bill 204, and we'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 58.
Carrier, Mr. Chair?
Sorry. Let's see. Senator Vaucken, did you want to do this one?
Sure.
You had your pencil up in your hand, so.
I'd be happy to do it. Okay. I'd like Mr. Gardner to write my floor speech for me.
We'll see if I have the same success. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 58 requires a $50 application fee and a $100 annual fee to be included on a list of qualified arbitrators maintained by the Employment Relations Board. No revenue impact is expected on this bill, and it has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
It does?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. We have signed up for testimony today. It looks like Donna Sandoval Bennett, I believe. If you'll come forward, please. And please state your name and go ahead and proceed with the testimony, please.
Thank you. My name is Donna Sandoval Bennett, and I'm the chair of the Employment Relations Board. And we are passing out information related to the Senate Bill 58. I will go ahead and read my presentation. The Employment Relations Board is statutorily obligated to maintain a panel of qualified, experienced arbitrators. At the request of parties involved in a labor dispute, the agency provides a list of randomly selected arbitrators from which the disputants make a selection. The agency's conciliation and mediation staff spends a considerable amount of time administering the panel. That includes processing the arbitrator applications, checking references, providing arbitrator lists upon request, following up on grievances and interest arbitration orders, monitoring arbitration selection, responding to requests and complaints about arbitrators and their awards, and educating arbitrators on the idiosyncrasies of Oregon labor law. Senate Bill 58 will create a $50 application fee for arbitrators who want to be placed on the agency's arbitrator list and a $100 annual fee for the arbitrator to remain on the list. Instituting such fees will help self-eliminate arbitrators who are rarely selected by the disputing parties and will reimburse the agency for a small portion of the costs associated with maintaining the panel. It is consistent with practices in other states, the federal government, and private sector arbitration panels. It is not anticipated that these fees will have a chilling effect on arbitrators who routinely earn approximately $1,400 per day for their services, plus additional hourly fees to research and write their arbitration awards. The funds realized by the fees will be used to offset the costs of administering the arbitrator panel. Although the Employment Relations Board has absorbed these costs in the past, rising costs in other areas, especially mediators' travel expenses, now make it necessary to restrict the conciliation services activities to stay within the agency's budget. Passage of this bill will have no impact on staffing. It will enable the agency to better realize our performance measures, which focus on mediation and conciliation services with the immediacy that labor conflicts require.
This one.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. Any questions for our panel?
I do, Mr. Chair.
Senator Avakian.
When somebody makes it on the list of arbitrators, are they selected on a rotating basis, or do the parties have to agree to an arbitrator? I'm just wondering, after you pay your $100 fee, if you're guaranteed any work.
Senator Avakian and Chair Posansky, what it is a disputing parties will call and ask for some random arbitrators to be selected. And then what happens, usually we provide 6 to 7 names. The parties will strike names off that list until one is finally left on the list to be the arbitrator. Does this guarantee that someone will get work? No, it will not.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What's the source of funding now that you're trying to supplement with this?
We receive our funds from the general fund, from state assessments. Those are typically where we get our agency funding.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
You bet.
And also with fees. We have mediator conciliation fees that we do receive from those who take advantage of those services as well. Senator Beyer.
Approximately how many of these arbitrators you expect to want to be on the list? So how much money are we talking about for your budget?
At the present time, Senator Beyer, we have approximately 58 active arbitrators on our list. Just as an added point of information, in 2006 we received 260 requests for arbitration lists.
Follow up?
Yes.
Do you charge the people when they request a list?
No, Senator Beyer, we do not. Not at the present time, we do not. We don't anticipate that. We don't anticipate doing that. I should add, also in the future, what happens is the parties pay the arbitrator, when he or she is selected.
One more, if I get, Mr. Chair.
You bet.
How big is your budget?
The entire agency's budget is approximately $2.6 million a year.
Okay, and if I'm doing the math correctly, this is going to generate about $5,800 a year?
We anticipate that it will probably give us, we're looking at $50 per year to be on the list and $100 a year per arbitrator thereafter. So I think we're looking at approximately about $5,800.
Any other questions? Any other questions? All right. I'll go ahead and close. Let me ask one more time. I apologize for those in the public. Is there anyone else here who wanted to give testimony on Senate Bill 58? I'm not seeing anyone coming forward. We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 58. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 58.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move that Senate Bill 58 be sent on to the Ways and Means Committee, where I'm sure Senator Gordley will take good care of it.
And can we have a due pass recommendation sent down with that?
With a due pass recommendation, absolutely.
Thank you. Senator Monroe has moved that we send Senate Bill 58 basically to the floor with a due pass recommendation, but to be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion regarding the motion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
$5,800 out of a $2.6 million budget. I guess I would need more information. I'm not going to object to the motion to move it Ways and Means. I wish it was going with no recommendation rather than a due pass. If the bill gets to the floor, which I kind of hope it doesn't, I'd likely vote no.
All right. Thank you for your position and clarification. With that, at this point, it sounds like there will be no objection from all of the members for this to move down to the Ways and Means, with the understanding that Senator Beyer reserves the right, once he sees whatever might come out, if anything comes out to the floor, to vote differently than he is at this point on the motion. With that, it is so ordered. And what else do we have?
We're going to move 202.
No, we did not. We did not move 202 because apparently there was some a request that bill be held back because there were some discussions with the MLAC that they wanted to, I guess, have an opportunity to just look at it because they had not seen it before. Mm-hmm. All right. With that said, I think that concludes our work today. Is that anything else? With that, we'll close the committee. Thank you for being here. I apologize again for getting here a little late. We're closed. Good work. Thank you. So, Roger, if we can talk just...